no sense.
This is the Relic Radio Show, old-time radio entertainment still standing the test of time, from RelicRadio.com. Welcome back to the Relic Radio Show, 60 minutes of radio drama brought to you every Tuesday by RelicRadio.com. Thanks for joining me this week. We'll begin with John Steele Adventurer and his story, Joey's Girl, from January 17th, 1950. After that, it's the Mole Mystery Theater's 50 Candles, as presented by the Armed Forces Radio Service's Mystery Playhouse. This one aired July 25th, 1944.
Take one man caught in the web of his own frustration. Add a woman and the promise of escape. That's our story, Joey's Girl, taken from the files of John Steele, adventurer.
Hello, friends. This is John Steele. We're back this week to bring you another story of adventure and living. Usually, our stories are about friends of mine that I know real well. But this week's tale is about someone that I met quite by accident in one of those queer coincidences of life. I saw him for a brief instant, and then he was gone. But I couldn't forget the expression on his face, so I went about finding him again. Believe me, it wasn't easy. Well, you just go ahead and tell it exactly as you told it to me, Joey.
It's hard. It's real hard. You look back on something, try to figure out when it started, and you can't. You can't even tell the day or the week, what's more, the hour or the minute. It's too mixed up. One day was just like the next to me anyway, so what's the difference? I'll tell you the whole story. Mike's bar was just a joint where we all hung out when we didn't have nothing better to do. I was there a lot. Spend all your life near a bridge and it does something to you. I've been waking up every morning, sometimes afternoons, looking out of the window at it, and there it is, Manhattan Bridge. Looking big and rich and sticking its stinking feet down here where we ain't got enough room to turn around anyways. When you're a kid, you go to school because your old man beats you if you don't. Sixth grade, maybe seventh, and then you hit the streets. From there, you don't come home till you're tired or hungry. And you get tough and you learn how to take care of yourself. When you're older, you say, yeah, what's that difference? You hang out in joints like Mike's.
Hello, Joey.
Mike? How's the cuff?
You're clean.
Well, let me have a beer.
Okay. Beer.
Thanks.
When'd you get back?
This morning.
Seems like a long time.
Years a year.
Yeah. Flo's been asking for you.
You can tell her that...
I did.
Dirty, squealing little...
It was her or you?
Yeah, I guess so. So who's around?
Usual mob.
Be glad to see me back?
Maybe.
What do you mean, maybe?
Nothing.
Okay, what's up?
Nothing, I tell you, Joey.
What's up?
Greek's kind of taken over while you was away. Just don't start nothing here, Joey. Run a nice, respectable joint.
You want to know something?
Yeah.
I don't care no more.
Hmm?
That's what I said.
What do you mean?
I mean I don't care no more.
Yeah, but you're used to it.
I know.
Everyone's been saying, wait till Joey gets back.
Yeah?
Sure. I don't get you.
What's the difference?
Huh?
That's what I mean. What's the difference?
Oh. Yeah, I see what you mean. What's eating you, Joey?
Nothing.
Get something in your mind?
No.
You changed.
It's nothing.
Hey, hello, Joey.
Hmm? Oh, hi, Benny.
I've been waiting for you.
Yeah?
Sure. I knew you was getting out today.
Don't give me that.
I ain't lying. On the level.
How's the paper business?
Okay. You want yours now?
I ain't got the nickel, kid.
Oh, I'll trust you.
Yeah. Give me the...
Mira. See, I ain't forgot.
Yeah. Thanks, kid.
Glad to see you, Joey.
Nice kid.
Little thief.
So?
Okay, okay.
That joint looks the same.
Hasn't changed much.
Dirtier.
What's the idea of making a crack like?
Shut up, Mike.
Huh?
Who's that?
Who?
A doll.
Where?
Over by the piano with Deacon.
Oh. She's a new one around here.
Nice.
Name's, Lily something.
Yeah?
Thought you was off, Dames.
Dames like Flo.
They're all alike.
I'll see you later, Mike.
I don't get you, Joey. You changed.
You took the sun away when you took your smile.
Nice song.
Shut up.
Hiya, Joey.
Aren't you going to finish the song for the lady?
Yeah, sure.
If you're ever in my arms again, it will be a different story then. I will whisper I love you.
Pretty.
Beat it.
And you say you love me too. If you're ever in my arms again.
When'd you get back, Joey?
Today. Looks like I'm just in time.
Meaning?
Whatever you like it to.
Okay, it means you're a clumsy jerk for horning in on a good song. It
depends.
On what?
If you think a song's better than a man.
Maybe I do. Tonight.
Okay, baby, I'll see you around.
No, wait.
Yeah?
Buy me a drink.
I'm broke.
Okay, okay, I'll buy you one.
It's more like it. What's your name?
Lily, for the flower. Who are you?
Joey, baby. For nothing. just another dame. Maybe a little cleaner than the others and better dressed, but just like all the rest. Next day, my head was busting from the lousy whiskey, so I beat it over to Tony's and killed the day shooting pool. No point in looking for work. I'm going no place, and no hurry to get there. Funny how the smell of her stayed in my nose. I thought maybe I was going soft or something, so I drank myself crazy for the next couple of days, hanging out with the boys and just knocking around. It's just because I'd been away for a year, I kept telling myself, go away. And all the time, that crummy song was running around in my head, and I could hear her laughing. I stayed away from Mike's because I knew she'd be there. She was that kind of dame, always coming back for more. Well, then about a week later, I was out walking, trying to keep cool. It was one of them hot, sticky nights when even your hands sweat. And I was passing Mike's, and the door was open. I could hear Deacon playing inside, kind of slow and tired. I don't know why. I went in.
Hello, Joey.
Mike.
Rick.
Give me a beer.
Right.
Thanks.
Where you been?
Round? Why?
Nothing.
Why?
Didn't see you for a couple of days.
At all?
What else?
Sure?
Sure.
I thought maybe...
Yeah?
Nothing.
Greek was in a couple of nights ago.
Yeah?
He knows you're back.
He does, huh?
Yeah. Says he's looking for you.
So?
Just don't start nothing.
Can it? I told you about me.
That Greek doesn't mean he's...
I worry too much, Mike.
Yeah, but Greek's tough.
So what?
He might...
What if he does?
Huh?
What's the difference? Who else been in?
Nobody.
Hmm.
You're looking for somebody?
No, I guess not.
What's on your mind, Joey?
Nothing, I thought.
The blonde?
What blonde?
Lily. No, she hasn't been here since the night you came back.
It hasn't, huh?
No.
That's funny.
Used to be in here all the time.
Yeah?
I don't get it.
No. I'm going over and talk to Deacon.
You know, don't get it. Women are funny animals.
What to say, Dakin?
Hello, Joey. Didn't see you.
I've been busy.
Good way to be. Yes, sir. Good way to be.
Yeah.
Man can forget his troubles as long as he's busy.
Yeah.
I knew who the man was.
Remember the blonde deacon?
Everyone knows that.
Remember the song you were playing?
You mean, if you're ever in my arms again?
Yeah, that's the one. Play it.
Oh, sure.
If you're ever in my arms again, it will be a different story then.
Hello, Joey.
Hello, baby.
Been a long week, huh?
Yeah. Long week.
Didn't think you'd be here.
I'm here.
What now?
I don't know.
Gonna buy a lady a drink?
Yeah, sure. Stick that one in the corner.
You broke?
No.
Working?
So, hocked my watch, built it into a roll at Tony's.
Oh.
What'll it be?
Couple of beers, Mike.
Couple of beers.
We shouldn't be here.
But we are.
Yeah. What you been thinking for the past week?
Nothing much.
No?
Gotta get working soon.
Oh.
That's about all. What have you been thinking?
I've been... nothing.
You said it was a tough week.
Just make him talk.
At all?
Yeah.
Two beers.
Thanks, Michael.
Ring the bell when you want me.
Yeah. That go for you, too, baby?
Jerk!
That's no way to waste beer, baby.
I feel like throwing it out.
Cool off, baby. It's a hot night.
I knew it was no good for each other.
Who's good for anybody?
I never should have come in here.
I didn't ask you to.
Okay, wife.
Hate screaming women.
You don't have to listen, because I'm
taking no give.
So long, jerk.
Jerk is right, baby, for even thinking about you. Now, that was that. All alike. This is one dame I'm going to forget. I looked for a job for the next couple of days, but all the old boys treated me like I was poison or something, so I gave it up. Friends. You come back from a year in stir, and everybody gives you the big freeze. Deacon was right. Man can forget his troubles as long as he's busy. I hung out at Tony's for a week, maybe, but all the time I was thinking about her and hearing that song. When I couldn't take it no more, I beat it over to Mike's, but she wasn't there. I went back for the next couple of nights, but she never showed. Then one night I was walking past her place, and there was a light in the window, so I went in. Lily, open up. Come on, I know you're in there. Open up, baby. Come on, baby, I want to talk to you.
Please, will
you? Open the door, Lily.
Leave me alone.
I tried. Open the door.
No.
I want to talk to you, that's all.
Get out of here.
What's the matter, baby?
I don't want to see you, don't want to talk to you. Now beat it and leave me alone.
I won't open it, I'll break it down.
Leave me be. Oh. Shut up. Here's your arm to call a cop.
Oh. Open this door.
Shut up.
Oh. Break it to splinters.
Shut up. Open it. Just shut up. What do you want?
Take the chain off.
It stays.
I said take the chain off.
I said it stays.
Look, I don't want to hurt you, just talk to you, that's all.
Go ahead, talk.
Not this way. Let me in, baby.
Keep your hand out of the door.
Come on.
Let go of me.
Take the chain off.
You're hurting me.
Get the chain.
I am.
You're going to open up?
I'll slam the door on you.
Oh!
Let go, man.
Okay, okay. Oh, you little...
You're cut.
It's nothing.
You're cut, Joey. I'm sorry.
I said it was nothing.
Wait a minute. I'll let you in. Come in the kitchen. Get some water on. There, put your arm under the faucet.
That's just a scratch.
Under the faucet.
Okay, okay.
Leave it there. I'll get something to wrap around.
Women.
What?
Nothing.
Can't find nothing.
It's okay.
You got a handkerchief?
No.
Here's one. Clean. I washed it this morning.
Ah, quit fussing.
Dry it on the towel.
Lily.
Come on, dry it.
Baby.
stop talking. You gotta be safe.
What do you mean?
They're no good.
Why not?
I don't know. It's just them that gets along and then that don't.
Yeah, well, come here.
Get away from me.
Don't get along, huh?
They get me all wet.
No good, huh?
Get away. Use your head, Joey.
I'm using it.
Don't be a wise guy.
Listen, baby. Joey's never been goofy before.
I'm getting out of here.
Where are you going?
I don't know. I got a date.
Where are you going?
I don't know.
You got a date?
No, I got a date.
What do you mean you got a date?
I mean I'm getting out.
No, you're not. You're Joey's girl. Not going anyplace.
Joey, please.
Say it.
Please.
Say it.
Okay. I'm Joey's girl.
That's the way it was. Sometimes we was up and sometimes we was down. Sometimes we'd fight like cats and sometimes we didn't, but we always came back. I kept looking for work, but every place I went, I got the freeze. It didn't make sense. Guys had been up before, and when they came out, they got a break. Nobody kicked them around the way I was getting it. And then one night, 2 and 2 made 4. We'd been at Mike's. We were just leaving when we ran into Benny, the newsboy, outside on the
sports
street.
Sports final. Bums beat the cards in the 11. Get your sports final.
Hiya, Benny.
Paper, Mr. Paper.
Hey, Benny. Benny, I said hello.
Oh, hi, Joey.
What, did you give me the brush?
Well, no, Joey. Oh, hello, Willie.
What's the matter, Benny?
Nothing's the matter.
Well, okay, give me my paper.
Sorry, no mirror, sir.
What's it under your arm?
What? Oh, yeah.
Well, come on, give.
Joey.
Mart, no credit?
Well, it ain't that.
What's the matter, kid?
Well, Joey, please.
Would you like my dough no more?
Quit teasing the kid.
You know I'd sell you if I could, Joey.
What do you mean if you could?
Well, I mean...
Out with it, kid.
The Greek says I can't.
Greek?
He says he'll take my root away from me if I do.
He does, huh?
You understand, Joey?
Sure, kid, sure.
Well, it ain't that...
I know. You better beat it.
Yeah.
Here's the nickel anyway, kid.
Oh, thanks, Joey, thanks. Evening paper, get your evening paper.
So that's it.
What you gonna do about it, Joe?
Nothing.
Nothing? You mean...
That's what I said.
Yeah, but...
People just don't understand.
What?
I don't care no more.
Okay, that's the way you want it.
That is.
You know what they'll say.
I know.
They don't care.
What's the difference?
Where are we going?
I don't know.
Let's go down by the river.
Okay.
It's hot.
Yeah.
Cool us off.
Yeah.
What you thinking about?
Nothing.
Do you want to talk?
It's okay.
You're awful quiet.
Well, I guess I was thinking.
It's okay with me.
I used to play on this street when I was a kid.
Yeah?
Wasn't so much traffic over here.
What'd you play?
Kick the can, won a cap, and we could find a ball. I was going to be a big ball player.
What happened?
Kid from the next block I'd run over one day, and the cops kicked us all off the streets after him.
What do you want to be then?
Cop.
Why?
So as I could kick kids off the street. I saw a cop get shot one day. I didn't want to be a cop no more.
Ever want to be anything else?
Yeah.
What?
Just to come down here by the river at night. Just watch.
I know.
I always wondered where they were going.
Looks so clean.
Yeah.
So big.
Wanted to be a sailor then. Maybe someday be captain.
What happened?
I don't know. I used to think a lot when I was a kid.
About what?
Try to figure it all out.
Looking for answers.
I think I'd get away from it someday.
Yeah.
Never did.
No.
What is it all about, Billy?
I don't know.
Why have some people got it and we ain't?
I don't know.
This ain't fair.
No.
We gotta get our crack.
Yeah.
Everybody's all the time shoving.
I know.
And I don't want to fight back no more.
It's all right.
I'm tired.
It's all right.
Beating my head against a wall.
Joey.
For what?
Nobody's asking
it's
you
no
to...
good. The whole setup stinks.
What are you saying?
The guy's gotta move alone.
Oh.
You're part of it, baby.
What if I am?
Now go on back.
Joey.
Go on back and leave me alone.
Joey.
Don't look like that. Now get out. Get out.
Okay, Joey. I'm going.
Mm-hmm. I stayed away from Mike's for 2 weeks after that. Ah, she'd blown her stack and walked out before, but this time it was different. This time she did it the quiet way. I knew it was over. Heard about a couple of jobs over in the river. It sounded good, but when I went over, they didn't want no ex-cons, and that was that. Went over to Mike's one night a couple of weeks later, but it wasn't the same. But there's nothing else to do, so I kept hanging around and hanging around. I don't know why.
Hello, Joey.
Hey, Mike. Well?
Well, what?
I'm broke.
Oh.
What about a beer?
No, Joey.
What do you mean, no?
I'm sorry.
No credit?
I trust you.
Well?
Here's 10, Joey. Pay me back when you can.
Don't want no dough.
Take it.
I want a beer.
I can't.
Oh.
You know how it is, Joey.
Yeah.
I got a wife and kid.
Yeah, yeah,
what can
yeah.
a guy do?
All I want is a lousy beer. I'll pay you for the glass.
It's okay.
When did he move in here?
This morning. He bought the joint. He left a message for you.
Yeah.
He said, tell Joey if he sticks his face in here again, that's it.
That's it.
He meant it, Joey.
I guess he did.
Now, come on. Beat it. He'll be back soon.
Okay. Oh, Deacon.
Hello, Joey.
I came over to say so long.
You leaving town?
I don't know.
Might be a good idea. Yes, sir. Start off new with a new town.
Yeah, maybe.
Well, I knew a man once.
She been in, Deacon?
Joey.
Well, I guess that's that.
Everything happens for the best.
Yeah. Play it.
Joey, I...
Play it.
I'm sorry.
Okay, okay.
Play it for the guy.
Okay, Lily. This day was for you, not for him.
Yes, sir.
If you're ever in my arms again, it will be a different story.
Let's sit in the corner.
Okay.
Though I'm lonely again, there will be a darling.
Didn't think I'd be seeing you.
Guess it's that way with us.
Yeah. Guess it is.
Mike told me about the Greek.
Did, huh?
Better leave town for a while.
Yeah.
It'll blow over.
Guess so.
Would you care?
No.
I'm coming with you.
No, you're not.
Why?
It's no good.
It's no good this way.
No.
Well, then.
Quit shoving.
What's the matter with you, Chuck?
I don't know. I don't know.
What do you want?
Will you leave me be?
I'm doing
Why
the
do
best.
You keep cornering me?
It's only because I want to
shoving,
see.
Shoving. Everybody is shoving.
When are you going to be a man?
Oh, shut up. Will you shut up? Lily.
Why?
I didn't mean to hit you. Honest, baby.
Who do you think?
I don't know what got in.
Scratch your teeth.
Stop it now.
Scratch your...
Stop it. Stop it. That's better than a sit down.
Sure.
I don't know what's the matter with me.
I'll say you
I'm
don't.
I'm all mixed up.
How do you want it on a platter?
Oh, shut up.
Gonna wait.
Shut up,
wait.
Shut up. Look, all my life I've been shoved around.
What do you think it's been for me?
I never got what I wanted, never.
Think I've had a picnic?
But I always shoved back. I did the best I could. Now all of a sudden it doesn't make sense no more. I'm tired. I'm tired of beating my brains out.
What brains?
Where does it get you? What it's all about? Why don't they leave me alone?
Listen, Jerk. I'm going to tell you this once and no more. Who do you think you are? You should have it easy.
Nobody wants it easy, just so as it makes some sense.
Shoving, that's what it's all about. Somebody shoves you and you shove them back. And that's it. Only thing is, it's nothing alone.
Joey, Joey, will you get out of here?
Yeah, sure, I'll get out.
That's what makes it sense.
Greek will be back soon.
Okay, okay, I said I'd go.
Think it over, Jerk, because I'm leaving.
I want you to make a mess of my joint.
Shut up, will you? All of you, shut up!
And when you make up your mind, don't bother the call.
Lily!
Better get back to the bar. Now get out of here, Joey.
All that time. Shoving. Ah, oh, why don't they let me be?
Joey. Joey, it's Lily. She's hit by a car.
She hurt bad?
I don't know.
All right, let me through. Let me through. Get out of the way, punk! Lily, baby.
You, Joe.
Yeah, baby, it's me. Now, just take it easy. Everything's going to be all right. Just take it easy.
I hurt.
Yeah, I know.
Didn't see him.
Yeah.
Didn't see him.
Shh, baby, shh.
Was looking.
I know. Where's it hurt?
My chest.
We'll get a doctor. Get a cop. Somebody do something.
Cops are coming, Joey.
Take it easy, baby. It's going to be okay.
Come on, folks. Stand back. Give him room. Yeah, come on, get back.
There. Hello, Mike. Hello, Steve.
Hey, copper, look, get a doc, will you?
Alarm's turned in.
She's hurt.
Be here in a few minutes.
Oh. Yeah, baby.
That's my head. With...
Oh, here. I'll put my coat on.
There.
Now, don't talk.
Sorry. Sounded off.
It's okay, baby.
What a dirge.
Yeah, I know. It's okay.
We're gonna get a crack at it.
Now don't talk like that.
Too late.
Shut up, baby. Shut up. Look, all my life I've been waiting for a dream.
Too late.
Just putting in time. Will you shut up? Will you shut up? I'm trying to tell you, Lily. Oh, I'm sorry, baby. I forgot. I always do it wrong.
Okay, Joey. Go on.
You're it, Lily. You're it.
What, Joey?
You're the dream, baby. I've been...
Joey.
I love you. I love you.
I love Joey.
Yeah. Joey's girl. As soon as you're better, we're going to take off. Get away from it all. Start all over. And then we'll... Lily.
Let me see you, son. It's too late.
Lily, did you hear what he said?
Come on, son.
Did you hear what he said? Well, tell him. Tell him it ain't.
Nothing you can do now.
Nothing.
Run him through, please. Come on. Stand back, folks. Here, run him through.
Too late.
Hiya, big boy.
Leave me alone.
Oh, don't be the head.
Beat it.
Somebody give you a hard time.
Blow.
Be nice. Come on, buy me a beer.
Okay. Why not?
That's better. Let's go to Louis' cafe, huh?
No.
Okay, where?
Mike's.
That dump?
What's the difference?
I will whisper I love you, and you'll say you love me too, if you're ever in my arms again.
The title, Joey's Girl. A story of a man who learned the tragedy of indecision. And if you like Joey's story, why not come back next week, friends? I'll have a fellow who was held to the darkest jungles of Indochina by a strange and compelling bond. I like to call it obsession. So until next week, this is John Steele saying a life of adventure is yours for the asking, wherever you find it. Only don't look for it. It may find you. Well, goodbye and good hunting.
Remember, next week, Mutual presents Obsession, another story of suspense and action from the files of John Steele, adventurer. This is the Mutual Broadcasting System.
Sergeant X. I don't think we need a Gallup poll to tell us that nearly everybody's in favor of a good mystery story. There's enough would-be Sherlock Holmes in most of us so that we get a kick out of attempting to solve a crime, even if it's only on the radio. So get out those magnifying glasses and meerschaum pipes for tonight's adventure in the Mystery Playhouse. The Mystery Playhouse gives you amateur sleuths a chance to exercise your talents. We invite you to match wits with the author of tonight's story, Earl Derbiggers, creator of the Charlie Chan series, and see if you can solve his mystery before the solution is finally given. You will be presented with a murder and five likely suspects. And if you catch the various clues as they come, you'll be able to put your finger on the murderer before the curtain falls. And here is a hint to the most important clue of all. It's contained in the title of tonight's tale, 50 Candles. Good hunting.
My name is George Winthrop. I'll never forget that horrible night I stood alone in the library of my former employer, Henry Drew. It was a stern and foreboding room. The heavy yellow fog from the fields of marsh grass seemed to be pressing close against the window panes. I'd been invited to Henry Drew's birthday party. Inside the big house, it was oppressively quiet. And then suddenly... I ran the door of the dining room. The table was set with gleaming silver and white linen. In the center stood a cake with 50 pink candles. I took a few steps across the room and stopped, horrified. There was a body on the floor. But let's go back to the events that led up to my shocking discovery. 4 years ago, Henry Drew, the San Francisco millionaire, had hired me to take charge of a copper mine in China. The mine had been a failure, and Drew promised that if I could make it pay, he'd reward me with a third interest in the property. Well, after 4 long, hard, and successful years in Yunnan, I returned to Shanghai to see Henry Drew.
Yes, Winthrop, you've done a splendid job, and I'm proud of you.
Well, thank you, sir. It was a tough job. I think I really earned my third interest in that property.
What? A third interest?
Well, yes, sir, you remember. You said if I could make the mine pay, you'd give me, in addition to my salary, a third interest in the property.
Why, you must be dreaming, boy. That's ridiculous. I never made any such promise, and you know it.
But you gave me a word.
Well, I assume if you have a witness.
Of course not, but I fulfill my end of the bargain. I demand that you keep yours.
Oh? And I'll accept it.
Accept what?
Your resignation.
Oh, so that's it. Well, you won't get away with it. I'm going to...
Oh, am I interrupting something?
Not at all. Come in, Carlotta.
Have you finished your business?
Yes, my dear. We're quite through.
Through?
Mr. Winthrop, I suppose you'll be glad to get back to the States.
Yes. Yes, Mrs. Drew. Good day, Mr. Drew. I'll see you in court. I was young and ambitious, and this act of injustice seared my mind with hatred for Henry Drew. Well, I booked passage as soon as I could to San Francisco. The boat was crowded, and I was informed that I'd have to share a stateroom with the ship's doctor and another male passenger. When I went on board and down to my stateroom, I found that already...
Make yourself comfortable, Mr. Winthrop.
Oh, thank you, Dr. Parker.
There'll be another gentleman in here, they tell me.
Put my bags in here, Hung.
Yes, Mr. Drew.
Oh, hello, Doctor. Huh? Winthrop, what are you doing here?
These happen to be my quarters, Mr. Drew.
Well, in that case, I'll have mine changed immediately. Come along, Hung.
Yes, Mr. Drew.
What a character, Dr. Parker. A famous Henry Drew who made his millions swindling other people.
Well, you have to admit he has good taste in women. Mrs. Drew is quite attractive.
Oh, sure, sure. But he's old enough to be her father.
Who's the young American girl that Drew hired as traveling companion for Mrs. Drew?
Oh, she's Mary Telfair.
Oh, you must be interested.
Well, I am, but so far it's all on my side.
Excuse, please. Mrs. Drew, like Dr. Parker, come to Drew's stateroom right away.
Oh, yes, yes. I'll be right along, huh?
Thank you, Doc.
You know, it's an odd thing about his relation to Drew. He's more of a slave than a servant.
Slave?
Yeah. About 20 years ago, Henry Drew saved his life. And for that, Hung pledged Drew 20 years servitude. Old Drew really exercised his rights as a master, too. Once he even prevented Hung from marrying a Chinese girl that he fancied. Later, the girl married old Dr. Su.
Well, I imagine Hung will be very happy when his 20 years of slavery end, that he can do as he pleases. In any event, better luck with your romance.
Yes, Mary, it's really been very funny. Old man Drew couldn't get another stateroom, see? So he's had to make the best of an uncomfortable situation, bunking with me.
I can imagine. But he's really been very nice to me.
Well, who wouldn't be nice to you?
George, look down there on deck.
Oh, yeah. Dr. Park and Mrs. Drew, huh? Yeah, they're going into Drew's stateroom.
I wish I had her clothes.
And her money. Yes, I think the good doctor has more than a professional interest in Mrs. Drew.
Yes, I gave Mr. Drew a sedative and he's sleeping quite soundly.
The old fossil. It would be too bad if he didn't wake up. Couldn't you arrange matters, Doctor?
No, Carlotta. That would be too obvious. I think we'll just have to be patient and let nature take her course. Uh-oh, here comes Hunt.
Excuse, please, Mrs. Drew. Mr. Drew asked me to tell you he would have dinner at 8 o'clock.
Very well, I'll be ready.
Thank you. I told Mr. Drew.
He knows more about Henry's personal affairs than I do.
Well, what about Drew's son, Mark? Has he made up with his father? I remember they quarreled years ago.
No, he's a lawyer and he has no use for me. He thinks I married Henry for his money. And just between ourselves, Doctor, I think he was right.
We arrived in San Francisco 3 days later. And then came the surprise. Old Henry Drew was giving a party at his home. It was to be a birthday party, he said. In spite of the bad blood between us, he insisted that I come. But the most important reason for accepting the invitation was, well, the thought of seeing Mary again. Hung Ching Chung called for me later, and we drove to the Drew mansion on Nob Hill. The fog was thick, hung like a blanket.
Oh, I'm delighted to see you, Winthrop. Take that chair for the fire.
Thank you.
I've been thinking over our little business discussion.
Please, Mr. Drew, let's not spoil your party with business. My lawyer will call on you tomorrow.
All right, boy.
Evening, gentlemen.
Oh, hello, Mary. You look beautiful.
Pretty as a picture, Mary.
Well, thank you, kind sir.
Excuse it, please, Mr. Drew.
Yes, what is it, Hung?
With your permission, I will go to my room.
All right, Hung. But be back in time to serve dinner.
Yes, Mr. Drew. Thank you.
I don't imagine you two will object to being left alone for a moment. I want to have a look at the table. I want to be sure all 50 candles are on the cake. Excuse me.
I wonder whose birthday we're celebrating.
Search me. He said 50 candles. That lets him out. He must be well over 60.
Yes. His son Mark is coming, but he's a young man well under 50.
Well, perhaps it's for Drew's partner, Dr. Su Yen Hun.
Mary, will you come up here,
Mom? Now, what does she want? I'll be right back.
It was then it happened. And everyone was upstairs but myself. I was standing alone in the Drew library. It was oppressively quiet. Suddenly I heard... I ran to the door of the dining room. French windows stood open to the fog. I took a few steps across the room. The table was set with gleaming silver and white linen. In the center stood a cake with 50 pink candles. Another step and I stopped, horrified. Henry Drew was on the floor with a knife in his chest. Mr. Drew! Mr. Drew!
Candles.
Mr. Drew! Oh, my God. He's dead. I was shocked and horrified as I stood there in the Drew dining room with Henry Drew's dead body at my feet. I stepped quickly to the open French window and saw a dark shadow across the lawn which disappeared in the twinkling of an eye. I heard running footsteps on the gravel path outside. Without thinking of the danger or consequences, I stepped out on the veranda, stumbled down the stairs, and tried to follow along the path. And then suddenly...
Hey, look out.
Good Lord, Winthrop.
Oh, Dr. Parker, am I glad to see you?
Well, what in the world are you doing out here?
Something terrible's happened.
Well, what is it? Speak up, man.
Henry Drew has just been murdered. We returned to the Drew house, and I met Mark Drew, Henry Drew's son, for the first time. A good-looking, brisk young man of 35. He'd been detained and arrived at the party just a few minutes before I found his father dead. A few minutes later, Detective Sergeant Barnes arrived. He was a cool, quick little man and all business from the word go. After a brief investigation in the house and outside, he ordered us to the library.
All right. Quiet, everybody. I have here the place cards of the guests for this birthday party. Mr. and Mrs. Drew, Miss Telfair, Mr. Winthrop, Dr. Parker, Mark Drew, and Dr. Soo-Yun-Hun. Oh, Mr. Drew.
Oh, yes, yes, sir.
Dr. Soo-Yun-Hun lives a few doors down the block, doesn't he?
Yes, he does.
He's the only guest who hasn't arrived. I wonder if you'd mind sending one of the servants to his house and ask him to come over here.
Of course, Sergeant. I'll be glad.
Now, we'll start with you, Mr. Windsor. What happened?
Well, I was standing in here alone when suddenly I heard somebody cry out. I ran into the dining room and saw Mr. Drew on the floor. He was dead.
Did you see a knife or any other weapon?
I didn't look for one. I heard footsteps outside on the path, and I went through the open French window and tried to follow him. Then I got lost in the fog and bumped into Dr. Parker. He came in, and that's about all.
What's your position here? A friend of Henry Drew?
Decidedly not. I was a former employee.
Decidedly not? What do you mean by that?
Sergeant, may I speak?
Why, yes, Mrs. Drew.
Mr. Winthrop was employed by my husband in the Yunnan mine in China. Mr. Winthrop claimed that my husband had promised to reward him with a third interest in the mine he managed.
Well, that's true. He did.
He claimed he'd been treated unfairly and quarreled violently with my husband, who dismissed him.
Well, that's not true. I resigned.
But you admit there had been bad blood between you and Drew.
Well, yes, I do.
Mrs. Drew, what were you doing at 7:30?
I was in my room. Miss Telfair was helping me to dress when we heard the cry.
What then?
Miss Telfair started out of my room.
I tried to leave, but you held me back.
Naturally, I was frightened.
Dr. Sue should be here shortly, Sergeant.
Good. Where were you, Mark, when your father was murdered?
I was on my way here in a cab.
Well, I'll check that later with the driver. But for the time being, I'll assume that clears you.
Well, you certainly don't suspect me.
I suspect everyone until he's proven innocent. Who's that?
Oh, that's Hung Chin Chung, my father's servant.
I see. Come here.
Yes, Mr. Officer.
Oh, Sergeant. I'd like to put in a word for Hung. You see, he's been in my father's service for 20 years. I'm sure he's the sincerest mourner here tonight.
It's good to have such honor in the eyes of my master's son.
Tell me, Hung, where were you at 7:30?
In my room on the fourth floor. My master gave me permission to go there. Mr. Winthrop, hear that?
Yes, that's right.
Did you hear the cry?
No. When I came downstairs, I found my master was dead.
All right, Hung. Suppose you go out and fix us some coffee.
Yes.
Now, Miss Telfair.
Yes.
What about you?
When I heard Mr. Drew scream, I ran downstairs. I looked in the dining room.
Yes?
And saw Mr. Drew.
Yes, go on.
I screamed and ran from the room.
Did you see a weapon of any sort? A knife?
I scarcely looked. I was frightened. Then Mrs. Drew rushed in, and when she saw the body, she almost fainted. I went upstairs and got some smelling salts. Came down here.
When you took the time to get the smelling salts for Mrs. Drew, you went to your own room first, didn't you?
Yes.
You wanted to hide something you'd picked up from the side of the dead man in the dining room.
Well...
Under your mattress was a pretty obvious place to hide this jade-handled yes. Chinese knife.
Yes, but... I know it was the worst thing I could have done, but I was so excited I didn't think...
Mary, you did that for me. Oh, you're wonderful.
Then this is your knife, Mr. Winthrop.
Yes, that's my knife.
How do you account for the fact that it was found beside the body?
Well, it was stolen from me, of course.
Of course.
Well, it must have been taken from my luggage in the stateroom on the boat. There were just three men who had access to that luggage. One was a dead man, the second was Hung Chin.
And the third?
Dr. Parker.
Nonsense. What motive would I have?
Motive enough. A secret love affair with my father's wife that's been going on for more than a year. Lust for money and a well-known lack of scruples, my dear doctor.
I tell you, I didn't steal Winthrop's knife.
Why not? A man who would steal another man's wife would hardly stop at the theft of a dagger.
Never mind, Mark. I'll take that. Hello. No, this is Detective Sergeant Barnes.
What?
When? Yes? Yes, I see. Well, very well. Just don't touch a thing until the police arrive.
Oh, what is it, Sergeant? Is something wrong?
Plenty. That was the servant you sent for Dr. Su Yan Hun.
Well, is the doctor coming?
I'm afraid not. Dr. Su Yan Hun has been stabbed to death.
Why, that's incredible.
Now, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Let's not get hysterical.
Hysterical! Hysterical! Two murders and the second one right under your very nose. I demand that you do something. No one is safe.
Please, Mr. Drew. Sergeant, I demand that you release all of us. Since we were with you, we obviously could not have committed...
Stand it up, Parker. You weren't with me when Drew was killed.
But are you implying...
I'm implying nothing. For the last time, may I point out that everyone in this house is under suspicion... Until this murder is solved.
Everyone? But I was upstairs and my husband was stabbed.
And so was Miss Telfair and Hung Chin. So what? Any one of the three of you could have gone down the back steps, out the back door, through the garden, entered the French doors, killed Henry Drew, and then returned the same way without being seen.
One moment, Sergeant. May I say a word?
Yes, of course, Mark.
Well, it occurs to me there's one important link in this mystery that hasn't been explained. The 50 birthday candles.
50 birthday candles?
Yes. Whose birthday is this anyway? Father was 69, Dr. Su was over 70. Look, may I speak to you privately?
Well, all right, come along.
Mary, I didn't kill Henry Drew. You believe that, don't you?
Yes, John.
Oh, and that's all that matters. No matter how this evening ends, it's taught me one wonderful thing. That you love me.
All right, everybody. I have an important announcement. My investigation is at an end. You're all free to go now, except George Winthrop.
Hey,
of course, you will be called later as witnesses.
Sergeant, you don't mean this. No, it isn't true.
I'm afraid it is, Mary. George Winthrop, I arrest you for the murder of Henry Drew.
I dropped into a chair beside Mary, too shocked and stunned to speak. And then strange things began to happen. All the guests left except Mary and myself. Sergeant and Mark Drew went into the next room and appeared to be consulting together. When they came out, Sergeant Barnes warned us to be quiet and turned out the lights. He stamped around the hall and opened and closed the doors. Then everything was quiet. The four of us, Mark, Mary, the sergeant, and I, sat there in the darkness. Minutes passed like hours. What did Sergeant Barnes have in mind? It was so quiet, I could hear the clock ticking.
Now, Mark, anyone attempting to leave or enter the house would have to pass through this hallway, right?
That's right.
Good. Now, you better slip out. Take your place in front of the house now.
Right, Sergeant.
Good luck.
Sergeant, I tell you, I'd
agree. Quiet, you fool. You ruin everything.
Sergeant, are you... That is, are we waiting?
Waiting? Yes.
You mean...
If you both will be quiet and listen and wait, you'll see what I mean.
Not a word.
George, he has something in his hand.
Oh, no, you don't!
Well, that takes care of that. What happened? Who is it?
The murderer. Who else?
You said that George...
No, not George.
Turn on the light, Mary, and you'll see.
The light's here.
Never mind, I have it. Good Lord, it's Hong Jin Chung.
Is he dead?
No. Look, he's coming too.
You were right, Sergeant.
Oh, Mark.
I caught Marley, the Chinese girl, outside in the car. Your men are holding her.
A Chinese girl?
Who's Marley?
Marley is the wife of Dr. Su Yen Hun.
She killed Dr. Su?
No. Hung committed both murders. But the two of them planned to run away together. That's why Hung had the suitcase with him.
Well, then you mean you don't think that...
No, no. Sorry to give you such a bad time of it, George. But we had to in order to trap the real murderer.
Well, I...
You see, everyone thought Hung was in his room when Henry Drew was killed. But it was very simple for him to go down the back stairs, go over to Dr. Sue's, murder him, come back here and murder Henry Drew, and then return to his room again. The killings were simplified because both men trusted Hung and probably had no warning. Of course, it was the clue about the 50 candles... Conscious now. Help him up, George.
Right.
Come on. All right, Hung. What have you got to say for yourself?
Let me speak to him, Sergeant. I'm sorry, Hung. I always thought you were loyal to my father. Long ago, he saved your life in Honolulu. In return, you swore an oath to serve him for 20 years. Today, you are to be a free man.
Yes, that is so.
Those 50 candles on the cake were for you. This is your 50th birthday.
So that's why old Drew said 50 candles before he died. He was trying to indicate the murderer. All right, Hung. You and the Chinese girl...
Let the woman alone. She did nothing. She was only waiting for me.
Well, then what connection did she have...
Oh, you, I tell nothing. To Mr. Drew, everything. All this was to be. Long ago, the gods arranged it. And who is man... that he should struggle against the gods. Years ago, I wanted to marry Marley. I asked permission of your father, but he would not share my services with Marley. He took me on a long voyage, and when we returned, Marley had been given to the evil Dr. Su Yen Hun. They hated the doctor, Mr. Drew, for that. I swore that when I was free, would kill them. Today, I kept my oath. Do not grieve, Mark Drew. It is the decree of the gods. But now, gentlemen, by your leave...
Look out, he has a knife!
Hold that, gentlemen! No!
Sergeant, is he...
I'm afraid so. You've done a good job.
This is horrible. Poor Hung. You might think it's strange, but my father never meant much to me. Yet Hung, well, he was my friend for as long back as I can remember. If I had only known earlier what the 50 candles meant, this might have been prevented.
Yes, Mark. If...
Well, that's the curtain on tonight's mystery, 50 Candles. How did you do? Were you able to outsmart the author and put the finger on the murderer? Or did you just jump from one suspect to the other, finally drawing a blank? Well, if you got it right, congratulations. If not, better luck next time. Say, before you put those detective tools away, follow me to the green room and see if you can't pick up a clue or two about our next performance in the Mystery Playhouse. Follow me, please. Come.
I'm alone now. The last of the funeral guests have gone, and I am alone in my study. There's been a queer sense of freedom in the house since the coffin was carried away. The coffin that now lies hidden in its solitary grave beneath the brown earth. Claire is dead, She was my wife. And yet, I feel no sorrow. Little wonder. It was I who murdered her. Yes, I murdered her, but it was done too cleverly for anyone to suspect me. The power of mind over matter. Now that I look back on it, I marvel. Less than a month ago, she was strong and healthy. Then I began working on her ignorant fears, convincing her that she wasn't well. I could almost see the seeds taking root. Her appetite left her, and she began to complain of stomach pains. She took to bed. The doctor, stupid fool, could find nothing wrong, but it was clear he was worried. I waited patiently, letting her tortured mind ravish her body. And then one evening, I walked into her bedroom. There was a cup of broth on her night table. In the half darkness, I dropped the white powder into the broth. 5 grains of arsenic. An hour later, she was dead. Now the worst of it is over. The long night when she lay cold and still in her room adjoining mine. The funeral, the tearful platitudes of our friends, the weeping and wailing. Over. Done and gone with. The money is mine to do with as I please. No longer will it be doled out to me at her whim and pleasure. All mine. I shall close the house. No one will question that the memories of familiar things are too keen to bear. But first I must discharge the cook and the housemaid. Immediately. Come in.
You wanted to see me, Mr. Goddard?
Oh, yes, Hannah. Come in and close the door, please.
Yes, sir.
What's that you're carrying?
It's a picture of the madam. I found it in the attic and I polished the silver frame. I thought you'd like to have it, sir, to remind you.
Oh, yes, of course. Thank you, Hannah.
It's a very good likeness. That is, until she was taken ill. I never saw anyone change so fast.
That's the nature of her disease, Hannah.
Somehow I can't believe she's gone. Every now and then I have a queer feeling that she's still here.
You're just upset.
I have a feeling she wants to tell me something.
Hannah, please.
I didn't mean to talk about it, but I keep listening for a voice. Waiting to hear what she wants to tell me. When they took her out of her bedroom, I wouldn't let Millie straighten up. I wanted to do it myself. And there, on the night table, was the last thing I brought her. A cup of broth. She drank part of it, but...
Hannah, I'd rather not discuss it.
I'm sorry. I shouldn't really go on like this. Not after what you've been through. Waiting on her hand and foot. I wondered why you didn't hire a nurse those last weeks.
Well, I preferred to do it myself. I was afraid a nurse would have alarmed Mrs. Goddard.
Yes, and they're always prying into what doesn't concern them, aren't they? They think they know more than doctors do. Of course, some doctors don't know much at that.
Mrs. Goddard couldn't have had a better doctor.
And nobody could have done more for her than you did, sir, I'm sure. There are few husbands who would have done what you did. Very few. You wanted to speak with me about something, sir?
It's not important, Hannah. It can wait for another time. For long minutes after the door had closed behind her, I could feel my heart pounding madly. The palms of my hands were cold and damp. Everything had changed. The feeling of well-being and satisfaction was gone, and in its place was nervous, uncertain fear. Why had she made it a point to mention the cup of broth? And what else had she said? Oh, yes. Few husbands would have done more for their wives. More than I did. Very few. The words had double meaning. Had she meant them that way? No, it was impossible. Just a coincidence. A ghastly turn of a phrase. There was nothing to worry about. Nothing.
Well, it doesn't look like you'll have much detective work to do in this one. The murderer's already told us who he is. Sounds to me like our next production is going to be one of those psychological stories going all out for terror. No, sir. I don't think there's going to be anything light and airy about our next attraction. So, if you like them grim and frightening, be right back in your seats when we raise the curtain on The Web. This is Sergeant X, closing the doors of the Mystery Playhouse. Good night. Sleep tight. Forces Radio Service.
That's this week's Relic Radio Show. I will be back next Tuesday with more. In between now and then, you can find John Steele, the Mole Mystery Theater, past episodes of this show, and all the shows at RelicRadio.com. Our Shoutcast stream is available there as well, and our donate button if you'd like to help support this and all the shows. Give that button a click. Got some downloadable sets for certain donation amounts, though any amount is always appreciated. That's how we keep it all going. Thanks to those who have. Thanks for joining me today. Talk to you again next week with another episode of the Relic Radio Show.